And those ones in April, they count just like the ones in late September and the ones in June and July. And there's a lot of truth to that. But when you have, especially this season, and maybe I'm just paying a little more attention to it, but there's just the teams, there's been a lot of inconsistency. I know early on, Baltimore was a team that, man, they just could do no wrong. And now they're kind of doing just okay. You know, they're headed the wrong direction in that division. Minnesota and Cleveland, you look at how they've swapped wins and losses in the last week. But as a player, you really have to pay attention to not getting too high and too low as a player, not only as your team goes, but especially with yourself and your own performance. And hitters, I think hitters to a T, you're going to go 0 for 10. I mean, most hitters are going to go 0 for 10, maybe 0 for 12 at times. And they're going to have one, two for 24 stretches, and then they're going to bunch some hits together. So it's the tough part of not getting too high and not getting too low, both with your individual stats and also with your team. And it's a little, you're a little less in control of, you know, keeping that kind of mindset as a team. So it takes usually a pretty special group of guys to just keep plodding along when things aren't going real well.
Like Mark said, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about how wide open baseball is right now. And so I'm going to take the Astros out of this, and I'm going to take the Nationals as well out of this. Who's good in the MLB right now? Who's actually impressed you?
You know, Kyle, it's easier for me to tell you who I think is bad, right? Because to your point, I was thinking about that. When you get down, when you're making a top five list, and you get down to number four and five, you start to think, okay, who is there? And you start thinking, well, Cleveland, the Angels, who are actually 41-39 right now, Boston, the Yankees, Minnesota. You start looking at these teams, and these teams have had multiple of these teams have had 6, 7, 8 game losing streaks. The Royals, who are only a couple games out of first place right now. They're 2.5 back, have lost 9. You know, I'm trying to think of teams that impress me, that a team that is and has been mediocre, but maybe the teams that I think have impressed me are teams that I think are overachieving. And I think Tampa is a team that's overachieving, and some of their pitching has been that. Minnesota has impressed me because, in my mind, they're overachieving. So there's a few teams, and even the Angels. I did not expect the Angels to be a couple games over 500. And honestly, the Atlanta Braves. I'm not saying they're good teams. I'm saying they're overachieving. I think the Minnesota Twins out of that group have a chance of being a better team. And one other team, and this is going way back to the roots. You know this, guys, is Milwaukee. They're being 4 games over 500, leading the Central Division. And even though in their last 10, they've been 500.
The Dodgers, you mentioned them in there. In addition to some of those other teams that you just talked about, the Dodgers recently just rattled off 10 in a row and are now sitting right there at the top of the strongest division in baseball. Do you buy into them?
Well, here's my question. Do you guys buy into the National League West?
Honestly, not really. They're putting up great numbers. The Rockies have a great offense, and the Diamondbacks, though, I'm kind of been expecting to fall off for a while.
I think you have to buy, Cal. Arizona's 20 over, and Colorado, despite losing to the Dodgers recently, is still 16 over.
Yeah, and you know, right now I think, guys, the West is – and Kyle, I can completely understand your point. You're just waiting for Arizona's pitching to fall off the face of the earth. And Colorado, their starting pitching has slipped a little bit, and obviously, they've lost 6 in a row, and something they haven't done all year. But to Mark, to your point, this reminds me of what we used to see in the American League East. You've got a couple teams there in San Diego and San Francisco who are there. Wow, they're in a position to just continually get pounded on by these top three teams in the National League West. And I'm starting to think we could see, one for sure and maybe two wildcard teams come from this division solely because um, they're they're better than I thought they were, these other teams. Colorado's pitching is suspect. That may be the only issue I see. But, man, the Dodgers, I've always thought were legit, and the Arizona, you knew last year was a better team than the way they played.
336 on the Gym Class, talking with Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer, our baseball expert here on KGYM. Okay, Cal, Saturday, noonish, I'm going to sit down, have some lunch. I turn on the Major League Baseball Network, and Texas is playing the Yankees. So I'm gonna tune in and catch a little bit of Judge. But the guy who really caught my eye is somebody named Austin Bibbins Dirks. He's been with 17 minor league teams, 32 years old, and watching him, you know, he barely cracked 90 on the gun. He reminded me the way he placed the ball of Boddicker from 30 years ago. But have you seen much of this guy? And I mean, he's 3-0. Come on.
Yeah, I've heard his name. I'm trying to recall. You know how us baseball guys are. We try to. If we've seen a game, we always remember the stuff, and sometimes we don't remember the name. But if he has a nickname, we'll remember who he is. But this guy, it's a style of pitching that I think we miss a lot. And I know we've talked about that a little bit here on the show about guys that don't necessarily blow people away, guys that are throwing like Mike Boddicker did, maybe later in his career, and throughout, he always pitched with command. But there's multiple ways to get people out, and that's the way Mike pitched. That's the way this guy's pitching. And to be with 17 different teams, there's people are going to say, oh, he's not, you know, he just isn't good enough. Well, that's not necessarily true. Every one of those teams, he fit with every one of those teams for a certain reason. And mass majority of the time, that this is the guy that you see that's in AAA that can always give you innings, and he's going to get you outs. But he may not be one of the top 12 pitchers in your organization.
Well,
he may not fit on your major league roster.
So I think we see the left-handers knocking around for years, maybe beyond their worth, but it's rare for a right-hander like him.
No question. We have a guy, I think, in our organization, I think throws harder. But Luke Farrell is a guy who we have in AAA, and another guy, last name Caramo, that's in Omaha. And you look at those guys, you look at their numbers and what they can do. There's a lot of guys out there like this. There's a good number of guys like this in AAA. And so you know what? All this is an advertisement for people to go watch AAA baseball, because there's some really good pitching there that just hasn't been in the right place at the right time to get an opportunity like this guy has, finally.
Cal, we've got a question off the text line from Ryan from Walford, and he's wondering if Schwarber, you know, gets called back up to the majors and he starts hitting again, do you think that now that he's kind of got this blemish on his radar, do you think that the Cubs are a little bit more likely to consider using him as a trade piece?
If he hits, they're not going to trade him.
Right.
That's that's kind of how it works. But if they were going to trade Kyle Schwarber, it would have to be for more than likely a pitcher or two that they're going to have for probably 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years. Somebody that they have control over, not only for the number of years, but also for the money. And the money wouldn't be outrageous. To find a position player with his kind of power that when he's right, he hits left-handed pitching also. And look, this is kind of a natural progression for a lot of hitters. You look, they do real well for a while. They have a little bit of a slump. Maybe mentally they have a tough time getting over it. And that usually happens in the second or third year of their career. And they need to go back down, get things figured out, build that confidence back up, and come back. And he has a ton of pop. I don't know that they would trade him and have to be a blockbuster really for the Cubs to do it. But this isn't that uncommon for a lot of guys. Lots of times, guys that are in the major leagues go through this when they go from AA to AAA, and they have to make that move back, and then they finally get their confidence and get rolling.
Yeah, I've never been crazy about the idea of trading Schwarber, but that does lead me into another question. I don't think a lot of Cubs fans expected to be in this position at this time in the season, but as the trade deadline approaches, the question isn't so much who are the Cubs going to trade for? It's more should they trade for anybody at the deadline? So have the Cubs, to you, proven that they're a legitimate contender enough to go out and make a trade? And if you think that they have, would you go about addressing the pitching or the hitting first?
I think they have enough hitting, and I think you win. And I think the other thing that fits for them is their position players defensively. They've got so many players that can play all over the place that I don't know that they necessarily need any more offense. If Kyle Schwarber's hitting, then this isn't even a question. And so, but we're going to definitely be going to the pitching. So they've had some offense that hasn't been what they thought it was going to be, and Schwarber's a key piece there. And when he was hitting in the playoffs, it made that team extremely tough. Defensively, they're pretty good too, from a position player standpoint. I'm looking at how can I make my pitching even better, and Wade Davis at the end of the bullpen. What can they do? They add a bullpen piece. Do they add a starting piece? And some of it, really, honestly, guys, is just the guys that are there. They just need to perform better.
Mm-hmm. The Cardinals have spent a lot of their year struggling with things that we don't usually expect the Cardinals to struggle with, just simple fundamentals. And in the last couple weeks, they haven't really shown any signs of improvement. And I'm kind of starting to wonder, when do we get to the point where we don't really expect the Cardinals to improve this year? And when do we decide that it might just be kind of a down year?
Well, the Cardinals are, this may sound kind of crazy, but the Cardinals are now in a point to where some of their players are getting older, and they have to decide what are they going to do. Because you've got Jerko at third, not necessarily the best defensive guy over there, but he's hitting. They really need a guy like Randall Grichuk, who's been in the outfield and has been up and down. Same kind of, you know, he's had that similar story that you hope Schwarber doesn't follow. Randall, tons of power, but they need him to solidify himself as an everyday outfielder in the big leagues, and that would make their team a whole lot better, as Stephen Piscotty has. And, you know, they're looking at Tommy Pham, who's playing in the outfield, and he has done well, but he's really a bench guy. And so St. Louis, and you've got Molina behind the plate, who's going to need some time off and be able to play first at times and DH when they play the American League teams. And you're starting pitching with Wainwright. I don't think he's finished, and he's got a lot of good days ahead of him. But that starting pitching is going to start to get a little more expensive with Carlos Martinez and Lance Lynn. Leak, they're paying him a lot of money. So they've got a lot of questions to answer. And they have to decide during this trade deadline, and I know John Mozeliak has said this, they're more along the lines of not buyers or sellers. They're thinking, how can we make our team better in the long run, to your point, Kyle.
26-49 on the text line, Cal. With the rebuild underway, can you see the Brewers adding at the deadline if they're still in front in 3 weeks? Now, the deadline is before 3 weeks, but...
I mean, that's a great question, because Milwaukee, they feel like they have made their climb. First of all, the division kind of came back to them. And, Kyle, you pointed it out. The Cubs aren't playing up to par. St. Louis has got some questions to answer. Pittsburgh's not playing at the level that they thought, you know, everybody thought they would. And now you're sitting here thinking, boy, the division came back to us. You know, why I think it's such a great question is, does Milwaukee, is it too early for them? Is it too early for them to think we need to add? But I think they have to think the same way that St. Louis is thinking. If we're going to add something, we don't want to give away a future piece that could really be something for us in the minor leagues. We may give the second-tier player for something that we can once again have under contract for a long period of time. It's not going to cost us a lot of money, but the value is a large upside, and we're only giving away second-tier players.
Cal, I've just got one question about Aaron Judge for you. I'm curious to hear a former pro's perspective on this. There's been a lot of discussion kind of in the last few weeks about Aaron Judge being in the home run derby, and he hasn't committed to it. There's really no indications that he will. But at the same time, there's been a lot of pressure, a lot of people saying, oh, I hope he does, I think he should, yada, yada. But at the same time, we've heard in the past that the Home Run Derby can potentially ruin your swing for the second half of the year. It comes with a mythical curse. And so do you think that it's smart to try to be pressuring a phenomenal rookie into doing an event like that in just his first year?
Well, if I'm the Yankees, I don't necessarily want him to do that. I really don't. And the guy to ask this question to really is the Yankees hitting coach, maybe Joe Girardi, because they're going to have a pretty good idea of the mechanics of Aaron Judge. And if you go watch him take BP, is his swing much different in BP than it is in the game? And there are guys that are very, very gifted to be able to go up to and take batting practice and just hit homers. And they just hit homers and they change their swing a little bit. And there's some guys that aren't. And I'll give you a couple examples. Albert Pujols could go to BP and hit home runs ball after ball after ball. Manny Ramirez was the same way. And then go into the game and stay inside the ball and do great things. A guy like Scott Rolen, completely different. He says, as soon as I start hitting home runs, even in BP, trying to do that, I get out of my mechanics. So these guys are going to probably know that answer for Aaron Judge. But, man, I'm telling you, home run counts when it goes over just over the fence. And in the Home Run Derby, they want to see him go, 500 feet. But I think he could probably win the Home Run Derby by just going up and taking his game swing because he's that strong.
Cal, I don't want to legitimize Tim Tebow's chances any more than what they are right now, but he has been promoted to High A Florida State League despite hitting .222. Now, my question is not necessarily whether he should have been promoted, but what kind of message does that send to other players in the Mets organization who may be more worthy than he?
Well, I think that their general manager answered a question about along the lines of this, Mark, really well. And I think that it's fair from his standpoint that they're moving him up because partly is because of his age, and they want to see, can he handle that next level? And if Tim is a 23-year-old or 24-year-old or 22-year-old, they're going to take their time with him. But once, being older, they've got to find out a little faster whether he's going to be able to handle it or not. And I think that that's part of why they're moving him, because his age is quite advanced for somebody in A ball, and especially low A ball. And, we do that a lot of times in player development with guys, especially pitchers, and sometimes position players who get into A ball and they're 25 years old. You're like, this guy's either got to get be able to do it in Double A, or we're going to need the roster spot for a younger guy. And that's partly why they're doing this, in fairness to them. And being in with our Lexington team, I got a chance when we're playing Columbia. I got a chance to talk to Tim, and when I talked to their manager and talked to some of his teammates, he's been worth every penny to them because he's such a great guy. And I'll tell you, the inspiration that he's had for these guys, but also the leadership that he's shown, has been phenomenal, and they were very quick to point that out.
All right, Cal, last top five for June. Next Tuesday is the 4th of July. We will be off, but we'll work with you on something else next week, okay?
You bet. It is really the end of June, fellas. The draft has already happened. It is amazing. I'm sitting at my desk, and I've got a list of all 40 of the guys that we drafted, and it's pretty amazing that the season's flying by. But the top five, like I said, I named a bunch of teams that I had towards the bottom at number five that could jump in there at that spot. And I think I had Cleveland there last week. This year, Colorado falls to number five. They've lost six in a row. And Kyle, to your point, what teams have impressed you? Well, Colorado has impressed me. And unfortunately, it looks like they're headed the wrong direction, but I'm not selling on them yet. And then another team you mentioned to take out of there, the two teams you mentioned, Washington and Houston. I've got Washington at four and Houston at number three. And Houston's just been kind of treading water at that 12-and-a-half game lead. Not that that's anything to be upset about in Houston, but There's two teams that, and we talked about them, that have just been taking off and doing everything right, hitting on all cylinders. They've got marquee players on their team, whether it's Goldschmidt for the Diamondbacks or Kershaw and Bellinger for the Dodgers, but they've got a lot of fun things to watch. So Arizona number two and the Dodgers at number one. They're hitting on all cylinders right now, guys.
Excellent, Cal. Hope you can catch some baseball, whether it's in Eau Claire or anywhere else here in the next week.
Oh, you know, that's just part of the plan. No question.
All right, Cal, enjoy baseball, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Cal Eldred joining us for his regular appearance on Tuesdays on the Gym Class talking about baseball. Again, we will be off next Tuesday for the 4th of July, but I think we'll find another slot for Cal next week, aside from Tuesday. Right now, we want to give you an opportunity to win tickets to the John Deere Classic, that tournament coming up in mid-July. July 14th is the first round of that tournament. And we've got for you four any-day passes to the tournament and a parking pass for the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois, coming up. One of my favorite numbers for a par four, double bogey six. We'll take caller six next, and you'll be the winner of the John Deere tickets.
Just announced, during the Ford Summer Sales Event, get 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on vehicles like Ford Focus, Fusion, Escape, and Edge. Offer ends July 5th. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, and save big across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. Get 0% financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry in to the summer sales event, going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month per $1,000 financed, regardless of down payment. Trade Assist Cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Focus RS. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new delivery from dealer stock by July 5th, 2017.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch at your local Pep Boys location and let the performance speak for itself.
When smart businesses need to grow their team, they do it on the site proven to deliver, Indeed.com. According to an independent study, Indeed delivers 5 times more hires than any other job site, more hires than the rest combined. And right now we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
You'll find Scott Unash on the golf course likely right now because he is south of here enjoying the second to last day of his vacation. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann. Kyle sitting in Scott's seat today and helping steer the ship here on the Gym Class. First of all, Department of Corrections. This one's on me. The Major League trade deadline is actually July 31st. I had the All-Star game on my mind when I said it was less than 3 weeks in response to one of the questions. So, yeah, the trade line is July 31st. We've got a winner of the John Deere tickets, Kyle.
Yeah, we sure do. It's going to be going to a great name, Kyle, in North Liberty.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time for
you
Kyle.
Changed your residence, huh?
Yep. Changed my phone number, too.
KGYM programming tonight, second game of a 4-game series, Minnesota and Boston vying for division leads in the East and Central tonight at Fenway Park, 7 p.m. On 107.5 FM. That'll be joined in progress. That first pitch is actually about 6:10, so join that game in progress after the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Thanks to Cal Eldred, always good insights on baseball and I was just curious about that Tebow thing because if I'm hitting 280 and I'm well into my.
Wasn't it just 220?
Well, no. If I'm another player.
Oh, gotcha.
Another prospect hitting 280 with 8 or 10 home runs and I'm an outfielder as well. I understand Tebow's 29 and they want to get the best possible look at him, but I'd be surprised if it. He's not going to be at Citi Field in September, is he?
No, he's not. Huh? He'll never be at Citi Field. And
Mets are pretty bad this year.
Yeah. Tebow's pretty bad, too. The age thing does make a little bit of sense, though, because he's probably at his, well, I guess for a former quarterback, maybe not, but you would think right about now he's at his peak athleticism. So if you're gonna get a good look at him, it's probably going to be right now within the next year or two.
Reminder, the change in programming tomorrow and Thursday, John Cranton of Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas will be joining us on tomorrow instead of Thursday, his regular slot. Thursday, will we have Caddy Smack, our golf show with Rick Swann, Scott Unash. That'll be on Thursday. So, again, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the interaction in the early part of the show and throughout. We'll catch you again tomorrow on the Gym Class.
Home at last. There's a note on the door. If you've got any unfinished business, take care of it now. You've only got a few hours to live.
Only a few hours to live?
Hey, neighbor. Did you get my note?
You?
Yeah, don't want you to forget. There's live music tonight.
Oh, live.
Get your boot scoot and eat on at Wild Hog Saloon and Eatery in Walford, 7 miles from CR. Live music 5 nights a week. WildHogSaloon.com.
Business is all about having the right connections. And with American Airlines' nonstop flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, from the Eastern Iowa Airport, you have more than 600. Whether you need to get to a meeting in